Thank you very much for your time. This is we just want to work on a basic, you know, very brief kind of drawdown story for Sea Power for the September issue. And I had to kind of go in circles here stateside, and I think you all ended up really helping me the most. So could I ask you just for basically, I'm looking here. I don't have much to go on. I didn't get a lot of background from folks here, so if I could just get from you, you know, I'm reading a reset strategy here, and I just, from that point, jumping off point, you know, where do things stand with you all? You know, what is your kind of plan of action for the next few months?
Okay, yeah, I can give that to you. If I talk too fast, tell me to stop and go back and hit something, but,
you could just talk into a little more into your microphone. That would be excellent. Is there a phone nearby? Just so I think it might be a little muffled.
Can you hear me?
Yes, excellent.
Can you hear me better this way?
That's terrific, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Is that okay?
All right. Like I said, you know, we've got a pretty good story, I think, you know, to tell right now. You know, one that's going pretty well for the Marine Corps, and certainly done. It has its challenges that's still in front of us. But if you have the reset strategy,
yeah.
You know, that's a great place to start to get some of the background of what we're actually doing over here in Afghanistan. I guess I would say that the first point is that we have a very, very detailed plan of how the Marine Corps is going to do our withdrawal, which we call R4. It's, you know, we can't get away from acronyms, and R4 stands for retrograde, redeployment, reset, and reconstitution.
Okay, great. And I could get all this back confirmed. So. Excellent. All right, and
Say that again. You're broken up a little.
Okay, so to expand on that, what is this? So how is that? If you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure, absolutely. I just wanted. I didn't want to talk for 5 minutes and then go back and you have any questions with it. So anyway, we've got a very, very detailed plan that comes all the way from Headquarters Marine Corps, which is a plan that our Commandant, General Amos, signed, that really gets into some details on what we do here in Afghanistan, which is really the retrograde and redeployment of the R4. It's the first two R's of R4. What we're doing on the front end to recover all of our equipment from Afghanistan, reset that equipment, meaning put it through the maintenance, upgrade it, modernize it, all those things that we need to do to stuff that's been in a fight since really 2004 when we went into Iraq. The majority of our equipment here in Afghanistan was transferred directly from Iraq, from OIF, into Afghanistan in the 2008-2009 timeframe. So that's really where the process starts, so the rubber meets the road, so to speak, here in Afghanistan for the reset piece of the Marine Corps and ultimately the reconstitution. And the way we define reconstitution is the Marine Corps posturing itself for the next fight, whatever that might be down the road, that we are ready to go. Our equipment has been worked on and it's back in the barn and we're ready to respond to the next contingency or requirement that the president sent us out on. So we understand that we've got a very, very important role in this because, again, we're the logistics folks here in Afghanistan have been charged with accounting for the equipment, which is our number one priority. Having visibility of that equipment as we put it into the transportation pipes going back to the United States and trying our best to get it to the location that it will be repaired at one time so that we're not having to send additional money to transport it once it gets into the United States. So when you look at the process end to end, the things that we're doing here in Afghanistan to, again, collect it off the battlefield that is distributed, over the entire Helmand and Nimroz province, account for that gear, get it ready for shipment, and the majority of our equipment is being flown back now, and I will get into that in just a second. But the point with this is we've got a plan. We understand that we're the front end of that plan to reconstitute the Marine Corps, and we've got a couple of organizations that are over here helping us do that, and we take this very, very seriously. A point that our general, Major General Mark Gerganis, has thrown at us is that we will take everything home. The Marine Corps strategy right now is from a box of pencils to an MRAP to a tank. We are redeploying all of the Marine Corps equipment. We understand that we are going to be on some very tight budgets with the possibility of sequestration, coming at us.
Sure.
We know that what we have over here in the fight is stuff that we need to have back in the United States to put back on our shelves and again help us train for the next engagement, knowing that we can't buy all new stuff when we get back to the United States. So we're bringing it all home. I can't speak to the strategy of the other services. I know that they're looking at options of not bringing home some of their legacy or obsolete equipment and either getting rid of that through foreign military sales or just donations to other countries. But I don't know any details really about that. I can tell you that the Marine Corps, our charge, my charge, is to bring it all home and then get it back on the shelves and we can use it there. The two organizations that we have here in Afghanistan that are really prosecuting the retrograde and redeployment, and again, I'm going to throw a couple more acronyms at you. One of them is called the R4OG. And that stands for the Retrograde Redeployment Reset Reconstitution Operations Group, R4OG. The second is part of our Marine Corps Logistics Command, Forward, and those guys are out of Albany, Georgia.
Sure.
Those are the wholesale depot level maintenance folks that are here that are doing the assessments on all of our equipment and then deciding where we need to send that back in the United States to go through a depot level maintenance rebuild plan. The R4OG group are all Marines, and they have been sourced globally from the Marine Corps. It's about 550 Marines, and their job is to assist with the Marine Corps, with the units, the actual Marine units that are out in the battle space, with accounting for the gear, packing the gear, and then shipping some of that gear back to the home stations. And that can be in North Carolina at Camp Lejeune, at Camp Pendleton in California, or all the way out in Okinawa or Hawaii. So those are the two groups that are really working this. The R4OG, military, Marines only, and the NCWC Forward, the Logcom Forward guys, and that is predominantly a civilian organization that are, government workers and government contractors. And I'm going to break right here and see if you have any questions on that.
After the R4OG, you said the civilians are called what?
Well, they're part of what we call MCLC, MCLC Forward, which stands for Marine Corps Logistics Command.
Got it.
And again, that's the majority of Logistics Command out of Albany, Georgia, is a civilian organization. Major General Chuck Hudson is the commanding general at Logistics Command, and he is the owner of the reset part of R4. So he owns the third R. With the Commandant's R4 plan, but he's got about a 400-man organization here at Camp Leatherneck, in Afghanistan, to do the rebuild assessment piece of all of our heavy equipment that's coming home.
What are some examples of equipment? I've done a story on Army Material Command, and I got a sense of the range of items from automobile from the Humvees to the goggles. How about you?
It's everything. If you can imagine from all of the gear that we say is green gear, from M1 main battle tanks to light armor vehicles to our 7-ton trucks, Humvees, every kind of radio that you can imagine, every piece of weapon systems from rifles to artillery pieces, you name it, we've got it over here, and all of that will be going back into the operating forces at home station or back into the depot maintenance rebuild piece. Now, the second part of that is we've got a significant block of repair parts, supply parts, just basic office equipment that we've accumulated in the 4 years that we've been here. All of that equipment, excuse me, will in fact be retrograded home and put back to use at home station somewhere. So if you threw something at me, I would probably tell you that yes, we have it and we're bringing it home. I mean, it's everything, like I said, down to a box of pencils that we're bringing out of here.
Sure. Now, were there any loss? Actually, I don't need to ask that question about losses. But let me, with regard to the strategy, were there any lessons learned was it unique? Was OEF unique? Was operational? Was OEF unique? And were there certain unique aspects to doing this and drawing down equipment and did you see the conditions of the equipment really suffer? Was it, were there losses?
Well, there are a couple of things, I think. And I used to be the operations officer at Marine Corps Logistics Command for the OIS retrograde when we came out of Iraq. So
sure.
I've been cursed because I can't get away from doing equipment retrograde on one end or the other.
But wow.
Yes, there are some parallels to the OIF model and the OEF model as far as what we've done and the lessons we've learned. For the most part, the equipment that did leave Iraq and went home before we started sending it here to Afghanistan, we sent all of it, every piece of it, back to Blount Island Command in Jacksonville, Florida, which eventually made its way to the Marine Corps Logistics Command in Albany, Georgia, which is our big depot. And then from there, we had to sort it out and then send it to the right maintenance location, to the right unit that needed that piece of gear. And it took us a couple of years to sort that equipment out because we just kind of dumped it back into the United States because we were trying to get out of Iraq so quickly. So the big lesson learned in the way we're executing here in Afghanistan is instead of just kind of doing that dump X back into the United States, we're sorting that equipment here. These two organizations I mentioned previously, their charter is to sort the equipment out here and one time move it to the place it's going to be used or repaired. So it's a very, very detailed filter type process for lack of a better term, to get it right the first time. Now, the added challenge to Afghanistan with doing a forward filter process like we're doing here is obviously the transportation pipes.
Absolutely.
The Pakistan ground line of communication, commonly referred to as the PAK-GLOC, as you know, has been closed since just after Thanksgiving last year because of the border incident with the loss of, I think, 24 or 25 Pakistan soldiers. And the Pakistan GLOC has just recently opened up, just a couple of weeks ago, after the secretary, made the formal or informal apology, the Pakistan government has opened that up. We are not moving anything back down the Pakistan GLOC right now, because everything that was in the PAK GLOC when it was closed, it will take 2 to 3 months to clear all of that equipment that was coming here out so that we can start sending stuff back down to the port of Karachi and retrograding it back to the United States that way. So the challenge with this retrograde process right now is, for the most part, everything that's leaving the Afghanistan theater is having to be flown out. And you just can't generate the velocity or the volume by putting stuff on airplanes that you can put on trucks and eventually on a big ship and float that stuff home. So the challenge we have right now is with the transportation of how much we can get out by flying and how much has to sit here and wait to go out by surface, either through the north or down south through Pakistan.
Yeah, now there's a little interagency cooperation. Do you work with Transcom? Do you work with a couple of folks How do you?
We work directly with the Transcom organizations in here, the Surface Distribution Deployment Center, the SDDC folks. They are here within the battle space. We have a debt of about 40 soldiers here at Camp Leatherneck with us. They help us process equipment going out. And we also have the Air Force folks from Air Mobility Command under Transcom as well that have what we call an ATOC, an Air Terminal Operations Center, they're helping us fly everything out right now. So absolutely, Transcom is a key enabler and player in the whole process from moving stuff out of Afghanistan.
I covered them a while back, and it's always an interesting story, so I knew they'd figure. So were there any new sort of dictates or messages for guidance that emerged from OES for you all? I asked about lessons learned, but was there anything unexpected that came about, based on that you had to kind of deal with in terms of your guidance and your mission?
Not a lot. It's hard to compare, the operational laydown from Iraq and Afghanistan. And again, I'm a logistician, so if I start talking tactics, I'm way out of my lane here. There's a difference in when we did our retrograde when the Marine Corps did the retrograde from Iraq, and we were in a strategic overwatch position. We were providing a quick response force to the Iraq security forces, and it was just a different setup, or it was things were more stable in the battle space in Al Anbar where the Marines were. The difference here is, we are still doing the transition. We're putting the Afghan National Security Forces in the lead. So our real focus here is to get the Afghan National Police, the Afghan Army, out there as we're partnering with them, as we're providing security force assistance teams with them. So we still have Marines and soldiers that are fully engaged in the battle space as we're going through this transition. At the same time, we're executing, the phase two surge recovery as directed by the president. So we're still engaged in the battle space, where in Iraq we were pretty much withdrawn into the FOBs, and when it came time to leave, that became pretty much the mission for everybody to get out. Now we're Marines are in the battle space until about 20 days before they have to get on the airplane and leave, which gives me about 20 days to collect their equipment and put it through that filter process and figure out which way I'm going to send it home. So that's kind of the difference that we're seeing right now. So we've still got a lot of engagement that we're doing out there in the battle space, and in some cases it's still, kinetic environment Marines and soldiers that are still in harm's way.
Those are challenging conditions. Now, I know you can't put you can't exactly give me dates and stats on the entire drawdown, as you just said. But in terms of the size of Camp Leatherneck and what kind of volumes you're dealing with, who are you responsible for? How big is this? I mean, how many folks? How much? Can I get some sense of volume here of what you're responsible for drawing down overall? Is it all of where you're based? And, I'm trying to kind of get a sense of, if I were to describe it to my readers, are we talking about that you've got to, as you say, you've got to kind of, you've got guys in battle space, but who are you kind of responsible for that you all are trying to draw down bring back?
We've got, as the regional command staff, we're responsible for, I think, we have 9 contributing nations within the RC Southwest. And really the retrograde process, for each nation is a national responsibility. We give assistance, to some of these nations, as they're, potentially, going to do redeployments or retrograde. The real focus behind the U.S. retrograde is of course, the president's decree that we will get down to 68,000 service members by October 1st. I will tell you that the Marines took a very large chunk of reducing the 20,000, from what we did from Christmas till October 1st. That's very well known through the media that we're on the front end of that. The Marine reduction in troop strength out here has been fairly significant, and it's roughly two-thirds of our strength here, Marines, is being sent home. And I'm kind of hesitant. I don't know if I'm allowed to say numbers.
It's okay. No, I don't think...
Okay. Jo said that she can provide numbers that are releasable that can give some context, to this. But from a logistics perspective, it's estimated that between 35% and 40% of the Marine Corps' equipment as a whole, the entire Marine Corps' equipment set, is here in Afghanistan. So, we're trying to get close to 30% of that equipment out before Christmas of this year. So there's a large chunk of stuff that we're trying to do to get it home. I mean, our Marines at all three of our big bases, on the East, West Coast, and in Okinawa, have suffered a little because of the equipment sets that we have remaining at home. It's basically enough equipment to train with to get ready to come to the fight. So the scope of what we have here in Afghanistan as far as stuff to move is every bit as much as we had accumulated in Iraq for OIS.
And ground equipment is, talk about ballast, that's heavy. That's the biggest, you have the biggest samples of types of equipment, I gather, the core.
Well, we do. I mean, the ground equipment, because of the threat that the enemy's throwing out there, we've been forced institutionally, just like the Army has, to go to out of the Humvees because the Humvees weren't giving our Marines the protection they needed. As a matter of fact, Humvee have not been outside the wire at any of our forward operating bases for nearly 2.5 years now. And the only vehicles that are allowed outside the wire are ones that have the added armor protection or the MRAP family vehicles, the mine resistant ambush protected MRAPs. So because of that, all the vehicles being so heavy with the armor add-ons, that in itself is a lift challenge for moving stuff out of here. Just for example, three MRAPs will fit on one C-17. Roughly 20 Humvees will fit on a C-17. So, we've become big and we've become heavy with the equipment. And again, all of this stuff is coming out of here. Every single piece of this gear is leaving. So it's either going to fly out or it's going to be put on a truck and sent to a port and get on a ship.
And again, those grueling pipelines for transport, there's probably been nothing like it. And even coming from Iraq over there, I know that was quite a challenge as well. So my last question is, in the post-OES security environment, even though you're still, absolutely ensconced in your work and not going anywhere right now, Do you see that your objective, the objectives in the kind of the reset strategy and some of what you've been charged with have been met? And going forward, do you feel like given budget restraint constraints, what's the best case scenario for restoring, upgrading, and rebalancing combat capabilities to posture the Corps for future mission requirements? So I guess it's really talking about having met your objectives and what you see going forward in terms of drawing down and resetting. Do you forecast it?
I think, again, going back to what I opened up with, the plan that the Commandant has signed and given to us to execute, the great piece of that is it covers from equipment moving out of Afghanistan all the way to where the Commandant wants us to be at the end of of our reconstitution efforts from our participation in Afghanistan. So it's a very comprehensive plan, and everybody understands what goes along there. I will tell you that the retrograde is absolutely a second place finisher to continuing to support folks that are in the battle space. I am under no pressure from anybody to retrograde equipment that's still needed here in the battle space at all. And the force posture, the number of Marines and soldiers that we're going to still have here in Helmand Province, have everything and then some of what they need to continue to do our transition mission and get the Afghan security forces in the lead here for security down in this neck of the woods. So as far as the equipment that's going home, the reason that we're so hung up on the accountability and the visibility of it on the front end is that is allowing all the really smart people that are back in the Pentagon to do the modeling and the analysis of what it's going to take for us to fix this equipment. And it's really building that wedge that our senior leadership can go back to Congress and throw out what the Marine Corps' liability to reset our force is going to be. So, it's a very detailed, very integrated plan that feeds, right into what the Commandant's trying to build is, again, a the quote, middleweight force that will allow the Marine Corps to kind of reset to our natural mission and get our equipment ready to go as well. So, there's I will tell you that probably a great follow-on conversation, to this would be to talk to the folks at Marine Corps Systems Command there in Quantico and follow that up with a discussion with the folks at Marine Corps Logistics Command in Albany, Georgia, because they are the ones who are maintenance strategy of how we're going to rebuild the equipment. And the systems command folks from how we're going to procure and go through the acquisition process for replacing equipment or modernizing equipment, that's really the finishing touches on resetting and reconstituting the Marine Corps. Those guys have a very detailed plan of how they're going to do that.
Just in a nutshell, if I can get from you, how does the org work with systems command, and you all are a logistics command forward? I can get this from Joe as well. I just am unclear.
Yeah. Well, I am not part of logistics command forward. I am the assistant chief of staff, C4. I am General Gerganis, logistics officer. So I kind of, in the beginning of the logistics process, here in theater, and I kind of feed into the logistics command, systems command, requirements of sending stuff home. So really, those are two executing organizations that work underneath, headquarters Marine Corps.
No wonder.
In the big enterprise institutional perspective, I'm just part of the operating forces. So, I own all the equipment while we're fighting guys, and then I'm told to turn it back in, and those are the guys that tell me where to send it. So, at the end of the day, part of the plan that I'm executing was drafted by Systems Command and Logistics Command, because they know exactly where we need to send this equipment. So, I really am the executor of what somebody else dreamed up.
That's an excellent explanation. No wonder I had trouble getting the right answer. So, and what is your title, if I may? I want to make sure I get that correct.
I am the Assistant Chief of Staff, C4, for Regional Command Southwest.
Perfect. Okay. And
my first name is Jeff, J-E-F-F, last name Hooks, H-O-O-K-S.
Excellent. And you're based at Camp Leatherneck? Where do I say
you? We're at Camp Leatherneck, Afghanistan, and our home station is Camp Pendleton, California.
All right. I'm a Californian. Okay, excellent. So I think this is just wonderful. I'll follow up with Joanna, and we will this is going to be a wonderful piece. The readers expect it in September, so I'll make sure you see this. It'll be out in a few weeks.
Okay.
And
I think that right now our story is very, very good. I will tell you, we certainly got some challenges. We're in a landlocked country 600 miles from the ocean, which is probably not a very natural act for a Marine, to be in. We've got a great plan, and our Commandant, General Amos, has made it very, very clear to all of us what we've got to get done. His focus is on, saving dollars and, making sure that we're being very, very frugal with all the taxpayer money that's been sent into us.
Excellent. How's the morale? Last question. How's everyone doing?
It's great. We still understand the it's a very dangerous battlefield, and there are people out there that will do Marines harm. And this will sound kind of corny and quirky, but there's a real purpose to, certainly what we're doing with the retrograde of equipment, but, when you talk to these young Marines that have been out in the battle space for 6 months, on their part of their deployment, there's a feeling that they're getting something done because they can really see the transition. They're training, the police, and, when you can see people that are willing to put a uniform on and, take charge of their own freedom and their own future, there's some satisfaction in that. And, down to the youngest Marine, every day they get to do that. So I would say morale is good, there's a sense of purpose, for us being here. General Gargani says it to us all the time. A lot of people go, you guys are only going to be there for a year, another year in the Marine Corps, or 2 years, with U.S. forces committed. But what he says is, yeah, we're going to be here for another year, and the opportunities we have within that year to do continued good things for the people, of Afghanistan,
yes,
is a real opportunity for us. So I think morale is very good.
It's been a unique mission, absolutely, in that sense. Well, I'm the daughter of who was a 22-year-old combat veteran in Korea, so I can appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you. This is excellent. Well, go ahead.
Daisy, if you need anything else, if you need some follow-ups, I know Joe's sitting in here with me. I'd be happy to, call back and do a follow-up if you need any of that. But we appreciate you telling our story. You guys have been very good to the Marine Corps through the years, and most of us read the magazine. So we appreciate you giving us the time so that we can get a good story out for the Marines.
I'll be doing more on the Corps, so I'd love to. So we'll be hopefully in touch. And, yes, I will follow up this week as needed. And thank you so much for your time today. And
okay, Daisy, thanks. You have a good day.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye, Colonel.
All right, bye-bye.